Sometimes we have more to say about moms than we do dads. Sometimes it looks like that is the case again today, but I do want to say that I do miss my father. He passed away 4 years ago, so I truly believe when he walked into the room, I always felt like a powerhouse pillar walked into the room and even into the church, and he is the perfect example of when Paul talked to the jailer and his family were saved all in one day. We represent, our family represents that jailer family where my father, my mother, my brother and I were all saved on the same day. And I'm glad for that story in the Bible because people just don't think that can happen. But it did, and it did also for us and our family. But I do miss my father, and I miss mostly just the phone calls. That's all, the phone calls. But again, just miss that a lot. But fathers play a very important part in our lives. But not everybody here has had a great father. Not everybody here has had a good father. And so sometimes when we celebrate these kind of days, it makes it difficult because sometimes people have had an abusive father. And that makes it even harder to try to understand and work through that. So, but I do want to remind you that we all have a father who is in heaven. He is the greatest. He's the most faithful and loving father that you'll ever have. And so we're thankful for that. So. Amen to that. So if you have your Bibles today, we're going to be in Joshua chapter 14 today. And the message is tilted a little bit toward men, but I believe it also goes toward women and a little bit into the family area. One thing is even some of my preaching has changed a little bit, doing a little bit more scripture than normal. I like it because scripture translate and interpret scripture, but if you are turning your Bibles in there to Joshua chapter 14, I want to go ahead and open up this part in prayer. Father, Lord, we do love you and we do thank you, Lord, for this day that we can celebrate Father's Day. But Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for this day that we're able to assemble ourselves together under your name and under your name, Lord, and under our beliefs in you, Lord, that you would just bless this time. We pray, Father, your presence to be here. And may we work through these scriptures, Lord, that we may grow in our walk with Christ. For it's in Christ's name, amen. As you turn there, we're going to find out that, you know, we are in the challenge here in these next 6 months for the rest of the year. Our first year challenge from January to June was this, that we would grow up in Jesus. That means we would be there, be where we need to be, and figure out how we are to grow in the Lord. As a church, we did not ask the Lord to bring any visitors. We did not ask the Lord to bring any salvations or baptism, but we just asked the Lord for us to give us strength and courage and a desire and a commitment to grow up in our walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. So now we have revisited that on June, on the Sunday night. Now we are in another challenge where we are to step up and continue with our spiritual growth, our personal spiritual growth, but also to be able to go out into this world and live as Christ wants us to live, work through the things we need to work through, learn how to share the gospel, and be the Christian that God wants us to be. And so today I want to talk to you about how to finish well. Because I'm telling you, no matter what you do in this world, if you drop the ball as a Christian toward the end of your life and you mess it up, all those victories you had are pretty much, they just kind of go to the wayside. You can't just start a race and start it strong. So many people, when they get in there, they fall in love with the Lord, they start going to church, something happens, a little bump in the road happens, they just kind of fade off, and they just stop going to church, and they don't finish well. They might have had a great jump start, but they did not finish well. We have to finish well. It ain't what you did yesterday. It isn't what you did last year. Those are important, but it's what you're doing today. And if you're spiritually growing, you should be a stronger Christian more today than you were a year ago, 6 months ago. If not, then there is a spiritual problem. And we're going to look at this today because we're going to look at the difference in some of these things. So I don't know if many of you remember, but there is a character in the Bible. His name is Caleb. He's not talked about a lot, but he was kind of partnered with Joshua a little bit. And we're going to go there today. They have went over to the promised land. They are taking over the lands. And we're going to pick it up here in verse 6. And we need to remember that Caleb is part of the Judah clan. So the descendants of Judah approached Joshua. And Caleb, the Kenizzite, said to him, "You know what the Lord promised Moses the day of God at Kadesh about you and me. I was 40 years old when Moses, the Lord's servant, sent me from Kadesh, which is that Canaan land, to scout the land, and I brought back an honest report. My brothers who went with me caused the people's hearts to melt with fear, but I remain loyal to the Lord my God. And on that day, Moses promised me, the land where you have set foot will be an inheritance for you and your descendants forever, because you have remained loyal to the Lord my God. Joshua here, Joshua is the leader of this bunch. Moses has already passed away. They're into Canaan. They're into the promised land. They have already taken over the lands. They're dividing some things up. And here we find out that the two oldest guys on the block is Joshua and Caleb. Caleb is, he is 40 years ago. He's bringing up something 40 years ago. Now, sometimes when we bring things up 40 years ago, some of us are that old, so maybe 10 years ago, sometimes it's either a laughing matter and we can laugh about it, or it's usually something that we don't want to bring up. It's something that was not good. But there are some times when we find out that there are things that we need to bring up because somebody made a deal. You know, our word doesn't mean much too much today in America. Do you know that? That old shaking hands and saying my word is solid as oak. I never break my word. Whew. We ain't too good about that anymore, are we? Our leaders in our country, all the way down to the average Joe. Our word just don't mean much as it used to be. Now we got to have 10 pages of a contract for just a little bitty agreement. And it used to be that when you said something, that it was solid. It was as strong as oak. It was it. When you said it, it was a done deal. And there was no wavering. Your words were stronger than those pieces of paper. So Caleb is coming up to Joshua and he's saying, now, I need you to remember there, buddy. You and me are the oldest guys on the block. Well, I'm going to bring something back. It's 40 years ago when I was 40 years old. Something that's 45 years ago. 45 years ago. Here we are. Now, I want to bring something up to you that you and I did something together. You see, Joshua now, he's kind of he's the big leader. So you're not going to get to, Caleb's not going to get to Joshua like he used to. There's a lot of, you know, millions of people. They're in battles all the time. They're taking over. So Caleb comes and he approaches Joshua and he says, listen, you remember that day? Now we're going to do a blast in the past here for a minute. So turn over to Numbers chapter 13. We're going to go back to that moment when they were together. God sent out 12. God told them, Moses, I want you to get a leader of each tribe. 12 tribes. I want you to get a leader of each tribe. And I want you to get you that man. I want you to put him out there. And this is going to be a team of 12. They're going to go out into a land that they don't know anything about. It's the promised land. They're going to cross the line. They're going to go out for 40 days. And they're going to take a survey. And they're going to spy out the land. Now, they're going to come back, and we're going to find out that there were 12 of them that went in, but there were only two that gave a good report. Let's just say the two that gave a positive, a honest report. Okay? A honest report. And they came back, and 10 of those guys said, man, we just can't do this. There's giants in the land. We just can't do this. So an uproar begins to happen. And as you know, the people usually, when they get in a little bitty problem, they all say, well, let's just go back to Egypt. Let's pick it up in chapter 13. Let's go to verse 30. It says, then Caleb quieted the people in the presence of Moses and said, we must go up and take possession of the land because we can certainly conquer it. You see, Caleb is saying, listen, we can do it. He's going against the crowd. He's going against the 10 other guys that went with him. And he's saying, listen, he quiets the crowd and he says, we can do this. But the men who had gone up with him responded, we can't go against the people because they are stronger than we are. So they gave a negative report to the Israelites about the land that they had scouted. And the land we passed through to explore is one that devours its inhabitants. And all the people we saw were all men of great size. And we even saw the Nephilim there, the descendants of Anak. They come from the Nephilim. And these are pretty much just giants in the land. And to ourselves, we seem like grasshoppers. And we must seem like grasshoppers to them as well. Here's the problem. I want to tell you this. Don't assume what you think other people think about you. We have our mind is a battlefield. We think what somebody else. So I can sit there and say, okay, Eddie, man, I just went by Eddie. He didn't give me a very good smile. He didn't look at me. And I know what he thinks about me. I know what he's processing. We think we're trying to get in other people's brains, and we feel like we can pull out their stuff, their emotions, and their feelings about us, and we struggle with that. We're very, very insecure. And we see that these ten spies that produced this negative report, they said, we seem like grasshoppers. We look like grasshoppers to us. But I'm sure it says here, it says, and we must have seemed like grasshoppers to them. So I'm just I don't think that was a positive, really a true report. Because if you're spying out the land, first of all, people aren't supposed to know who you are and what you're doing. When you spy out the land, you're supposed to be kind of in secret. You're going to be observing. You're not mingling. And if you are mingling, you're just kind of like travelers. They didn't know who these guys were. But they assumed they did. So these 10 other spies, they assumed that they knew what all the people, these giants, were thinking. That we were grasshoppers. And so what happens is the Lord gets tired of this mess, and he says, I'm going to destroy these people. But Moses and Aaron, they kind of tear their clothes and they do this and they're pleading to God. And God says, okay, I'm not going to destroy them. But God does do some things. Now what's going on is Caleb is reminding Joshua of that. Now I know Joshua, we know Joshua is not forgetting, but sometimes it is good to be reminded. Because you can be so focused on today that you forgot what you did yesterday. Especially what you forgot years ago. Chapter 14, it says this. In verse 20, the Lord responded, I have pardoned them as your request. Yet as surely as I live, and the whole earth is filled with the Lord's glory, none of the men who have seen my glory and the signs I performed in Egypt and in the wilderness have tested me these 10 times and did not obey me will ever see the land I swore to give their fathers. What the Lord is saying is all those, see the Lord don't forget it, all those miracles that he did back in Egypt, God said all these people saw that. All those things that I did up here in the wilderness, where it turned water out of the rock, you know, all this other stuff, and all the things they went through, crossing the sea, all the miracles that God did. God says, all those people that saw that, they're not going. They're not going to go into the promised land. They're not. Let me just jump down to verse 29. Your corpses will fall in the wilderness. All of you who were registered in the census, the entire number of you that were 20 years old or more. So everybody that was 20 years or older did not get to see the promised land. Did not get to see it. They're going to go out and walk in the wilderness until they virtually just fall down and die. Now, God takes care of them out in the wilderness. He gives them clothes and sandals that doesn't fall apart. God does take care of them. But they did not get the blessing, they did not get to experience the promise that God had for them. However, at this moment I'm thinking, What is Joshua and Caleb thinking at this time? Okay, everybody that's 20 years of age or older is not going to get to go. What about me? Well, those two get to go into the promised land. Joshua doesn't know it yet, but he's going to end up taking charge. He's going to take over Moses' part. Well, let me read verse 36 for a minute. So the men Moses sent out to scout out the land who returned and incited the entire community to complain about him by spreading a negative report about the land. These men who spread the negative report about the land, God struck down. So the Lord struck down those 10 spies. Now, it sounds like God is a violent God. No, God has a system. God has a system. And the system is different than ours. You see, ours is always concerned about ourselves. And God has a system that is different than ours. In the scriptures, it tells us that Caleb had a different spirit. That Caleb had a different spirit than the rest. Oh, let's go back over here to Joshua. Joshua, I want to get back to where I want to get. We're back into the piece. We're back from the past for a minute. Okay, so here he is. He's 85 years old. 85 years old. Now, I know that we all complain when we get a little bit older about our bodies, but I want to tell you, 85 years old, that's getting up there. He says, as you see in verse 10, he says, as you see, the Lord kept me alive these 45 years. He says, here I am, today I am 85 years old. But he's not complaining about his age. He's not complaining about his body. He says, I am still as strong today as I was the day Moses sent me out. My strength for battle and for daily task is now as it was then. What he's saying is, I don't feel any older. I don't feel no aches and pains. I remember, you want to know what Caleb was really doing? Caleb was living off the promise of God. For all those years, he was living off the promises of God. We have a hard time living off a little promise of God because we want what we want right now. And he waits all those years, and now he's 85. He's 85 years old. And he's not done yet. He's going to go into the land. So let's see what happens. He says, now give me this hill country. The Lord promised me on the day, because you heard that the giants are there, and as well as the Lord, the large fortified cities, perhaps the Lord will be with me, and I will drive them out just as the Lord had promised. Then Joshua blessed Caleb, okay? He says, it's all yours. He says, therefore, Hebron belongs to Caleb, because he remained loyal to the Lord, the God of Israel. So Caleb's going to get the land. Now here's the thing. Now Caleb is 85 years old. We think it's over, but he has to go in now. He has to take the land. And he's 85 years old. He's going to go up a hill. It's a hill. It's a hill country. So he's going uphill. That's the hardest battle to fight, is going uphill. Being old must be it has to be a hindrance, because you don't have legs like a 20-year-old. So you're going to go up there. You're going to take your family, and you're going to go up, and you're going to fight giants. I'm telling you, this is the guy you want on your team. This is the guy you want on your church staff. This is the guy that you want doing things around you. And I want to tell you, he is a man. He is a man that, as I begin to look through this and listen, it's amazing. It isn't that, you remember me telling you that learning Scripture is good, knowing Scripture is good, but when you experience it, it puts it all into perspective, and you get to experience God's the Scripture. And then it is, Caleb didn't just know God's strength, he experienced God's strength. You can go through your whole life memorizing Scripture, and that is good. You can go through your whole life knowing me, you can even know doctrine and theology, but if you don't experience it, you miss the best piece. It's like you got to cook the cake, you got to ice the cake, you got to look at it, but you never got to taste it. You want to taste Scripture, you got to experience it. And so Caleb does that. Caleb is a man. I want to tell you some good things that as we begin to see. There's other Scriptures with him, but I want to share with you some things that I found out about Caleb. Number one, he was not afraid. We are afraid too much in the church house. We are afraid too much as Christians. We're afraid of the world. Caleb is not afraid of the world. He looks at the strength of God. He focused on God and not the giants. He focused on God and not the giants, because whenever you really look at God, you'll see how big God is. And there's nothing bigger than Him. Amen? There is nothing bigger than God. Amen. There is nothing bigger. It doesn't matter what you're going through. There is nothing bigger than God. There's no love bigger than God's love. There's no bigger strength than God's strength. There's no bigger forgiveness than God's forgiveness. With God, you get it all. You get the 100%, whatever it may be. With God, you get it all. Amen? Another piece he is, he wholeheartedly followed the Lord. He followed God wholly. That's that wholly. That's a King James Version. Which means he was full of God. He was filled up. He was filled up with the Lord. And that's the thing. You can't do things with the Lord. You can't do the right things that God's called us to do when you're only half full. When you just got a little bit of that in. You got to be full of the Lord. You got to be full of it. Full of God. Another piece is, he saw God's promise. He heard it and he kept it. Do you know that the ministries that we have here was from 2005? We never strayed away from it. We never strayed away from it. And what do you see today? It is up and running and still building. Because it was God's promise out of a hotel room in Atlanta. Brought it to you. I took some spies into the land. We came back. They gave a report. We all jumped on it. But we had people that abandoned and they have left and never come back. But listen, God deals with them. That's on them. That's their relationship with God. But we have to do with what God called us to do. And we see it. If you look, you'll see God move on a continuous basis in this place and in your life. So not only did he saw God's promises, but he passed on a godly inheritance. There's some scriptures also that where he once he got it, he just didn't keep it for himself. He gave it and he passed on a godly inheritance. This is how you finish well. When you pass on a godly inheritance to your children. Now that doesn't have to deal with money. But you pass on a godly inheritance to your children. Not every man does that. Not every man does that. Listen, not every man, not every woman finishes well. Many men and many women do not finish well. You got to put it in your heart. You got to stick close to the Lord. You don't forsake the Lord. Finish well. It's not just about how you start, it's how you run. But it's not just about how you start and you run, but it's how you start, you run, and you finish. You got to cross the finish line. You got to cross the finish line with your head and your chin up, looking at the cross, looking to the Lord, looking for, you know, looking for that eternal life, looking for that salvation experience that comes to be when you die and you enter into the gates of heaven. You got to finish well. So many people do great works and they blow it somewhere down the line and they don't finish well. But does that mean God does not forgive? Yes, he does forgive. But there's always a cost. There's always a cost and consequences. We in America, we feel like there's not a cost and a consequences for the things that we do wrong. There should be a cost for the things we do wrong. It's basic teaching as a parent to a child. There is consequences to the things that we do wrong, but we want to sugarcoat everything saying you got a mental disability. You got issues over here. You got this over here. You got that. That's okay because we're going to label it XYZ. We're going to label it ABC. You're going to be okay. Listen, there are consequences to a bad choice, folks. There is consequences. There is circumstances. There's a cost to it. Another thing Caleb did was he lived in the strength of God, not his own strength. Because if he lived in his own strength, he'd be 85 and he'd be walking all wobbly. But he went up to Caleb, or he went up to Joshua and he said, look at me, I'm 85. I see the hill. All you got to do is just tell him, you just give me the permission to go and it's all mine and I'll do it. I don't care if there's giants up there or not. We're going to do this thing. I love that about Caleb. I love that. No obstacle was going to stop him because he saw that he was working in the strength of God. And it's amazing. Caleb is an amazing character in the Bible. We don't see anything negative about this man changing sides or getting off track or committing some sin and just really messed up his walk with the Lord. This man's focused. It's almost like I don't think you understand. He was living in Egypt as a slave, and he heard a promise that I'm going to get a promise, and God's going to send me to a land where I get my own property. This is for a person who never owned anything, and now he's going to own something that he's going to give to his family. He has the opportunity to change his whole family bloodline. And he saw that, and he heard it, and his eyes were just all bright and just flickering all over. He heard that God is going to lead them out. God's going to move them out. I'm telling you, he was ready. He never forgot Egypt. He never forgot where he came from. But he didn't put himself back over there. He remembered the promise that he heard in Egypt. He remembered that we're going to the promised land. He stayed focused. He went through all the times when the snakes were biting the people. He went through the time when those people were creating the golden calf. He's the one that walked across the dry land through the sea. He's the one that saw all these awesome miracles, those ten plagues. He saw all of those things, but he didn't let any of those waver him because he remembered that one thing. God's going to take me to the promised land. God's going to take me to the promised land. He's going to take me and I'm going to have an inheritance for my family. And I'm going to be something with God. God's going to move in my life. I'm no longer a slave to the Egyptians. I'm going to be free, but I'm going to be a child of God. And this is awesome. He got excited. And he's an old man. He didn't get the best of it when he was young. He experienced all that. But what did he do? When he's 85, he stands up before him and says, I'm ready. I'm ready. Been pumped up for all those years. And he was ready. And I'm telling you what, you almost feel sorry for those giants on that hill. Because he was wiping them out. And the Bible says he gave an inheritance. He begins to talk about his daughter, giving an inheritance to his daughter, to his family. What does that mean? That means he got victory. That means he got victory. So he didn't just he lived in the strength of God. And he didn't, and the cool part of it is he didn't fill up on the world. He didn't fill up on the worldly things. He didn't fill up on the Egyptians where everybody else was like, oh, let's go back to Egypt. I want to go back there. I want to go back to the bar. I want to go back to Uzin. I want to go back over there. You know the pain and suffering that caused. Why you want to go back over there? Sometimes getting where you need to be takes a little work. Where God is calling you takes some work. But the biggest part of the project is that God's drawing you to himself. Learning to lean on him and not on your own ways. Learning to trust in him, not in yourself or anything else, but to trust in him. I'll tell you, Caleb was spiritually growing through his whole life. Through his whole life. And that was cool. I mean, we don't have time to go to it, but when his daughter comes up to him and says, Daddy, I'm married, you gave me this part of the property, but you think I can have this water area? And, you know, it's kind of cool because Caleb now, he's a landowner. And the cool thing about being with the Lord is, what does the Lord do a lot? He gives away. Caleb takes his land. He didn't sit and put a big throne on it and says, look at me, I'm king of the hill. He says, here you go, honey, you can have that. He experienced one of the greatest things of all, giving something away. Giving something away. Isn't that what God does? Didn't God give his son away? He experienced that. Caleb finished well. Caleb finished well. Very few characters in the Bible outside of Jesus where you'll find that a man didn't mess up somewhere in the Scriptures. Doesn't mean that Caleb was a perfect man, but very, very seldom will you find a man that didn't have a very big spiral downhill moment or something like that. But Caleb is one of those ones that is just lifted up because of the things that he just stuck with the Lord with everything. Everything that he did, he just stuck with the Lord. He started well, he ran well, and he finished well. How many times have we seen, you that are baseball fans, have seen somebody be the home run king and break the home run record, and then all of a sudden, and you're so excited about it, and then you get the news that they run steroids, and you just go, it just took it all away, didn't it? It just took it all away. Same thing with the basketball players. Same thing with all those other people. How about when you have a pastor in a church and the church is doing great and you're building things and the pastor has an affair somewhere and everybody just goes, It took away all the good stuff. It isn't just about what you're doing in the beginning and about how you're doing it now, but it's how you're going to finish. You got to put in the good things, and the good things are the things of God. We got to finish well. We have to finish well. I'm going to tell you, there are three ways you make a decision today. I want you to look at me for a minute. There are three ways you make a decision in your life. You make decisions every day. Every day you make decisions. And whether you're going to Burger King or McDonald's, we make choices. But I'm talking about real decisions. Not about where you're going to eat, but real decisions. Who are you going to marry? Where are you going to borrow? Where are you going to live? What are you going to do for a living? Where are you going to go? How are you going to do that? Number one, you do them eternally. You make the decision. I think God trusts us with the Burger King drive-thru. If you got high cholesterol, then that's on you, right? You know what you ought to be doing. But we make a lot of eternal decisions, and we're just supposed to. That's fine. But there are big decisions that we make that are eternally, that we make them on our own, and we shouldn't be making them internally. The world makes many of their decisions internally. In the end, you will make a choice eternally. Number two, you make them externally. If somebody else gives you somebody else gives you the answer. Somebody else speaks into your life. That's why you got to be careful who you let speak into your life. But externally is those people, and that's those organizations where they're giving you word, they're putting into your life. And if you allow outside and it's not godly, it's the world, the lost people, are eternally making decisions and externally making decisions. But we as believers need to learn how to make a decision on the third way, that is eternally. God is always looking at the eternal decision. Amen? So when we make decisions, we go to the Lord and listen to the Holy Spirit, and we do that through Him, and that is an eternal decision. So we need to make more decisions eternally. Now, if I go back and we go back and we look at Caleb's life, was he making internal decisions? Was he making external decisions? Or was he making eternal decisions? He was making eternal decisions. Praise God. And that's how it ends up. You start well, and you may have start off with a rocky road. He was a slave. But I'm telling you, when you do it eternally, God will draw you out of that, and He'll lead you to a place that you could never get to on your own. Praise God for that. Who ever thought you'd be doing worship? Who ever thought you'd be doing a meal ministry? Carl, who ever thought you'd be working with the ladies or even a pastor's wife, even though we struggled with all that stuff in the past? Only God can do that if you stay close to God. That means it's going to be an easy road. But God's way is the right road. It is the right road. 10 men did not get to go into the promised land. In fact, they didn't even get to wander for 10 years. God just struck them down because they were the negative naysayers. You know what their decision did? It affected every one of their families. They were the leaders of 10 other tribes. They were the leader for 10 tribes. Those 10 families, their decision affected everybody. Negative, negative, negative. Negative never gets you anywhere. The 2 oldest guys on the block sometimes is the best place to get a little bit of advice. Young people, sometimes you do need to ask a little bit of advice from some people that's been around. That's just the honest truth. But make sure that you know that you need to be talking to godly men and godly women that are at that age. Because if they're not godly, they can be smart in the world, but that doesn't give them eternally answers, biblical answers. We are a new creation in Christ, so our decisions and choices need to come from the Word of God, amen? And from people that are believers. Caleb got to rest in an area that was not his and then became his. This is an awesome story. Caleb finished well. Could you imagine? I'm going to close with this. Could you imagine? Well, how many of you ever sat down with your grandpa, your grandfather, and you let them speak, and you listen to what they got to say, and sometimes it was good stuff, sometimes about old tractors, and sometimes it was about this car, sometimes you're like, wow, I wonder what it's like to have a 55 Chevy, whatever it may be. Maybe they'll tell you some things about what it was like in the 40s, 50s. Maybe they'll tell you some good things. Maybe your father's, somebody didn't tell you some things that were maybe not so great. I've shared this before, but I'll tell you, my grandfather told me, as I began to witness to him, that he said, if there was a hell, I'm going. And I'll never forget that. That's not a good conversation. And then I did his funeral, and it was the hardest funeral I ever did. I think I could have done my dad's funeral because I knew where he was going, but my grandfather, no. It was the hardest funeral that I ever did. I had no what to say. Because he didn't have anything eternal to say. I can imagine. Could you imagine having Caleb as a grandfather? Well, let me tell you about some giants there, little man. Let me tell you about some giants, little lady. Let me tell you how this land was taken, why you're here today, and why you're living in freedom. Let me tell you how that just didn't happen. That was because, and what you have is a patriarch. I pray today that you are becoming, you the guys that are older, that you're becoming a patriarch, and a positive patriarch to your family. matriarch. Hopefully you ladies know that you are part of that as your family. That you're to be a positive spiritual leader to your family, because if they're not going to hear it from you, they're probably not going to hear it from anyone else. That's the way you got to think these days. Because even people claim to be believers, they're not sharing the good news. So we have to do it in our own bloodline. We have to be the ones to say, I'm going to share the gospel with my children and my grandchildren. And some of you that might have great-grandchildren, you need to be the one until your time is up, that you know that there is without cause that they've at least heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? Caleb was able to do that. Caleb was a man that walked with God and lived on the promises of God. Now I know today, not everyone here has a great father. There are abusive things that you don't want to remember. There's things that could have happened that you don't want to remember. And I can't do anything about that. But I tell you this, I know this for a fact, that if you come to Jesus, the Bible says, Jesus said, come unto me, all who are heavy and burdened. He said, I'll give you rest. It starts with one step toward Jesus, and the process is up to Him. But I will tell you, and I will ask you this, if you still got those problems, your way is not working. Whoever you've talked to, that way is not working. You must learn to trust Jesus. And I mean trust Jesus with everything. 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 You will not know the fullness of God's love. You will not know the fullness of God's forgiveness. You will not know the fullness of God's compassion. And you will not know the fullness of God's healing power if you do not give it and trust Jesus with it. I've been blessed. I had a wonderful father. But I knew what my father was like before he got married. You all think it's... I just never could imagine Jim Staten with a cigarette and a beer bottle every day. Well, I do, and I remember, and I thank God for Jesus Christ that he changed my father. And I want to tell you, having Jesus in your life changes your life. Bottles and cigarettes went down, and the microphone came up. Now, who knew about that? And he began to sing on the road for Jesus and telling the story of Jesus. Only Jesus can change a man. Only Jesus can change a woman. And listen, we as Christians, we got to start remembering the basics. It's all about Jesus. And I want to be all about Him. And changes can happen with Him. I want to start my life well with God. I want to run my race well with God. But I also want to finish well. I want to finish well. Let's go ahead and stand. We give you an opportunity this morning if you want to come and pray.